From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. With health protocol, President Jokowi leads the commemoration of Heroes Day ceremony. Pfizer Incorporation claims its COVID-19 vaccine is 90% effective and is ready to produce 5 million doses. Now the news in details. With health protocol, President Jokowi Dodo led the commemoration of the National Heroes Day ceremony at the Kalibata Heroes Cemetery in Jakarta on Tuesday. He was accompanied by Vice President Maruf Amin. The ceremony was held by implementing the COVID-19 prevention health protocol. All ceremony participants wore masks and kept their distance. Even some of them wore face shield. As quoted by Medcom, the commemoration of Heroes Day ran solemnly. After the ceremony, the President and Vice President paid homage to the graves of a number of heroes. One of them by visiting the grave of the former chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, for the 2009-2013 period, Taufik Kemas. The ceremony was also attended by the ministers of the Indonesia Onward Working Cabinet. Among them are the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD, Minister of Religion Fahrul Razi, and Minister of Social Affairs Juliari Batubara. Economist Khatib Bashri has estimated the Indonesia's economy would start to recover in 2022 if the coronavirus disease COVID-19 pandemic were to be overcome. Bashri, during a discussion to encourage investment during the pandemic in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, stated that after the pandemic is overcome, the activities have begun to return to normal. Indonesia will speak about the recovery phase. Now it is survival. Bashri remarked that the current phase is survival from the impact of the coronavirus pandemic despite an improvement in economic growth from the second quarter contraction of 5.32% to contracting 3.49% in the third quarter of 2020. The economist affirmed that currently it is considered as a period of survival, adding that business players will not expand their business in the wake of economic restriction. Indonesia will provide 42.38 trillion rupiah, or $2.95 billion, in state capital injection, or PMN, for state-owned enterprises, SOEs, in 2021 to boost their role in supporting the country's economic recovery. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Tuesday, Finance Ministry State Assets Director General Isa Rahmatawarta explained the PMN for SOEs was expected to spur economic recovery and the government would oversee the disbursement of the funds by SOEs. The government wants to see SOEs participating in reviving the economy, creating jobs, and conducting business activities that will have a multiple effect. The government will inject 5 trillion rupiah into state electricity giant PLN, which will use the funds to develop transmission infrastructure and electricity distributions in villages. Meanwhile, state-owned company construction PT Hutama Karya will receive 6.2 trillion rupiah to continue developing the Trans Sumatra Toll Road, and Indonesian Exim Bank is planned to get 5 trillion rupiah. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The American pharmaceutical company Pfizer announced on Monday that based on preliminary observational data, the COVID-19 vaccine developed has an effectiveness rate of more than 90%. If the number can't restrain until the final analysis, it is admittedly far beyond expected the efficacy before. Pfizer and German partner BioNTech SE are the first producers that released successful data from a large-scale clinical trial of coronavirus vaccine. The company stated that they have not encountered any serious safety problems so far and expect to seek U.S. authorization this month for the vaccine emergency use. It is permitted. The initial number of doses will be limited, Chairman and Chief Executive of Pfizer Albert Bourla stated news. About 90% of the effectiveness of the vaccine is good news for many people.
It is a great day for science. It is a great day for humanity. When you realize that your vaccine has a 90% effectiveness, you understand that the hopes of billions of people and millions and businesses and hundreds of governments that were felt on our shoulders.
Responding to this news, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson explained that his party should not be satisfied with the news about the effectiveness of the vaccine produced by Pfizer and BioNTech. Boris said these findings need to be reviewed in depth.
The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine has been tested on over 40,000 volunteers, and interim results suggest it is proving 90% effective at protecting people against the virus. But we haven't yet seen the full safety data, and these findings also need to be peer-reviewed. We absolutely cannot rely on this news as a solution, and the biggest mistake we could make now would be to slacken our resolve at a critical moment.
Furthermore, Pfizer expects to seek a broad U.S. authorization for emergency use of the vaccine for people aged 16 to 85 years. To use it, it is needed 2 months of safety data for about half of the 44,000 study participants, which is expected at this end of the month. Japanese Economy Minister Yasutoshi Nishimura said the Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga instructed his cabinet on Tuesday to compile a package of stimulus measures focusing on steps to revitalize an economy hit by the coronavirus pandemic. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, the minister said the package will consist of measures to cushion the blow from COVID-19, assist structural changes in the economy, and boost productivity through digitalization. The government will compile the package as soon as possible, aiming to improve growth on both a macroeconomic and on a microeconomic level. Nishimura told the news conference of the regular cabinet meeting, Japan's economy is expected to have rebounded in the third quarter after posting record post-war constructions in the preceding 3 months period, but a nationwide emergency over the coronavirus pandemic paralyzed economic activity. Russian peacekeeping troops deployed to the war-ravaged enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh in the early hours of Tuesday, as part of ceasefire deal President Vladimir Putin said, should pave the way for a lasting political settlement of the conflict there. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, the deal agreed by Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Russia ushered in a full ceasefire from midnight Moscow time on November 10th, freezing a conflict that has killed thousands, displaced many more, and threatened to plunk the wider region into war. The territory is internationally recognized as part of the Azerbaijan, but populated and, until recently, fully controlled by ethnic Armenians who have been relentlessly pushed back by the armed forces of the Azerbaijan in 6 weeks of heavy fighting. Under the deal, Azerbaijan will get to keep all of its territorial gains, including the enclave's second city of Shushi, and ethnic Armenian forces must hand over control of a slew of other territories between now and December 1st. Russian peacekeepers will stay in place for at least 5 years. Putin said they would be deployed along the front line in Nagorno-Karabakh and in a corridor between the region and Armenia. Global markets have rallied in response to Saturday's declaration that Joe Biden has won the U.S. election. The end of uncertainty about the race outcome saw London's FTSE 100 rise 1.5% to 5,994.58 points in early trade, with similar gains seen across Europe. As quoted by BBC.com, Asian shares also jumped, with Japan's Nikkei 225 climbing 2.1% to 24,839.84, its highest level since 1991. There were similar gains in Australia, China, and Hong Kong, while oil and currency markets also climbed. Donald Trump has yet to concede and Biden wins remains a projection as key states are still counting votes. However, the Democrat is forging ahead with his plan for assuming power in January after major U.S. networks called the election in his favor on Saturday. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Heroes During the Pandemic. Today, November 10th, the Indonesian people commemorates Heroes Days, commemorating the heroic events of the battle in Surabaya City, East Java, between Indonesia independence fighters against Allied troops. The definition of a hero can be very broad. Not only someone is brave to fight to defend the country, but also someone who contributes to helping others. This can also be considered a hero. This year, the commemoration of Heroes Day is different from the previous ones. Heroes Day is commemorated amid concern about the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lots of victims fell. More than 400,000 people were infected, and more than 14,000 people died from this mysterious virus. During a health emergency situation like this, both health personnel and volunteers become heroes in the struggle to save the nation from the COVID-19 pandemic. They tirelessly sacrifice time, energy, and even life to help others. The Indonesian Doctors Association, ED, noted that more than 170 doctors and nurses have died in the task of dealing with the spread of COVID-19. The services of these health workers are increasingly felt by the increasing number of victims who have fallen, while the number of health workers is very limited. They are willing to work past the deadlines in their personal protective equipment for hours. They don't do it for money alone. With all responsibility, professionalism, and high human spirit, it is difficult for them to struggle to help others. However, these health workers' efforts will be in vain without support from the community. Health workers call themselves the last line of defense against the pandemic. The vanguard is the community. The community's willingness to always wear masks,
maintain distance, and wash their hands diligently is a major support for health workers. Public awareness that this pandemic is not over is very important. The public's willingness to refrain from gathering in large numbers, not to travel far if it is not important, and to refrain from visiting the elderly physically is the biggest contributions in breaking the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. Individuals who knowingly apply pandemic health protocols are heroes in a true sense. The willingness of individuals to adhere to health protocols is a very significant contribution to their environment. Their awareness of health protocols is a protection for themselves. Children, vulnerable groups such as the elderly and those with congenital disease and other people around them. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Of Indonesia in Jakarta with today in history. I'll begin with November 10, 1940, when the Francia earthquake happens. The 1940 Francia earthquake, also known as the Bucharest 1940 earthquake, occurred on Sunday, November 10, 1940, in Romania at 3:39 a.m. local time, when most of the population was at home. The earthquake, with a magnitude of 7.7, was the strongest earthquake recorded in 20th century in Romania. It devastated central and southern Moldova and Wallachia. The death toll is estimated at 1,000 people died and around 4,000 were injured, mostly in Moldova. Let's move it on to November 10, 1945, when the Battle of Surabaya happens. The Battle of Surabaya was between pro-independence Indonesian soldiers and militias against British and British Indian troops who came to Indonesia on behalf of the Allied to disarm the Japanese troop. In fact, they were used by the Dutch to regain its colony. Indonesia, who has used the momentum after Japanese surrender to proclaim its independence, naturally resisted any foreign troops who tried to control the archipelago. The climax occurred on November 10, 1945. This battle was the first war between Indonesian troops and foreign troops after the proclamation of Indonesian independence. It became one of the biggest and heaviest battles in the history of the Indonesian National Revolution, which became a national symbol of Indonesia's resistance to colonialism. After this battle, the support of the Indonesian people and the international community for the fight for Indonesian independence grew stronger. November 10th is celebrated annually as Heroes Day in Indonesia. I'll conclude today in history with November 10, 1975, when the Resolution 3379 passed by the General Assembly of the United Nations.
Resolution 3379 was issued by the General Assembly of the United Nations in 1975. This resolution states that Zionism is a form of racism. This resolution passed with 72 votes in favor, 35 against, and 32 abstentions. The 72 votes in favor included 20 Arab countries, 12 other predominantly Muslim countries, including Turkey that recognized Israel at that time, 12 communist countries, 14 non-Muslim African countries, and 14 other countries, including Brazil, India, Mexico, and Portugal. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Tak sulit mendapatkanmu, karena sejak lama kau pun mengincarku. Tak perlu lama-lama, tak perlu banyak tenaga, ini terasa mudah. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu, biar kita jalan ke depan. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, biar kita jalan ke depan. Aku inilah menjadi petamu, aku ingin jadi jagoanmu. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan sesuatu, biar kita jalan ke depan. Oh, jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu, biar kita jalan.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on helping the national economic recovery. Chairman of the NPR gains support from the chairman of the Turkish Parliament. Chairman
Chairman of the People Consultative Assembly in PR, Bambang Susatyo, held an official meeting with the Chairman of the Turkish Parliament, Mustafa Sentop, in Ankara, Turkey, last Tuesday. The meeting was to help accelerate the completions of the Indonesia-Turkey Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ITCEPA negotiations. As quoted from kemlu.co.id, in the meeting, which took place in a friendly atmosphere, Bambang Susatyo said that the Parliament has a major role in completion of the ITCEPA negotiations. Thereby, he asked his counterpart, Mustafa Sentop, to help to accelerate the completions of the negotiation. As part of being accompanied by Indonesian Ambassador to Republic of Turkey, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, at the meeting, the chairman of the NPR was also accompanied by two deputy chairmen of the NPR, Fadel Muhammad and Sharif Hasan. Responding to the request, the chairman of the Turkish Parliament, Mustafa Sentop, said that his side would ask the relevant commission in the Turkish Parliament to immediately review the latest status of the agreement and find the best solution so that the Turkish government can accelerate the negotiation of the agreement, which has lasted almost 4 years. The value of bilateral trade between Indonesia and Turkey in 2019 reached $1.6 billion, with a surplus on the Indonesian side of more than $800 million. This figure is the largest compared to the value of Indonesia's trade with other countries in the Balkans and Eastern Europe. Although there is still a surplus, it is estimated that there is a potential for an increase in the short terms of around $600 million if both countries have signed the ITCEPA. Meanwhile, the trade attaché of the Indonesian embassy in Ankara, Erika Nababan, said that Indonesia's main export products to Turkey are industrial raw material products that are needed by Turkey to increase its export to world markets, such as palm oil derivative products, rubber, various types of yarn, and automotive components. Therefore, the increase in Indonesian export will actually strengthen the local industry in Turkey. Apart from discussing the acceleration of the ITCEPA settlement, the chairman of the NPR, Bambang, also took the opportunity to express his sympathy and condolences for the earthquake that killed more than 100 people and nearly 1,000 injured in Izmir province, Turkey. Furthermore, Bambang Susatyo also said that as a friendly country, Indonesia is always ready to help Turkey if needed. Because Turkey is also always present at the first moment when Indonesia faces various natural disasters. On this occasion, both of them also mentioned a number of strategic collaboration that have been taking place between the two countries, such as defense industry, production of the COVID-19 vaccine, which is expected to enter the clinical trial phase, and infrastructure, as well as investment cooperation. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让整确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
baru tak kau lihat tak kau ragu. Peluru dan peluru hujan mengguru. Bahasamu bahas bahasanya. Biar kau bicara dengan siapa.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Tugu Pahlawan or Hero Monument. Every year, 10th of November is celebrated as Heroes Day in Indonesia. This day is a national day to commemorate the Battle of Surabaya in 1945, where pro-independence Indonesian soldiers and militias fought against British and Dutch troops. The location of the Surabaya Battle certainly has an important meaning in Indonesia's history against the invaders. Therefore, it was built a memorial monument at that location called Tugu Pahlawan. At the beginning of its construction, the Tugu Pahlawan was handled by the Surabaya City Government. Then the construction of the monument was continued by the Indonesian Engineering Corporation and Saroja Contractor. The monument, which was built for 10 months, was inaugurated by President Sukarno on November 10, 1952. In 1988, the construction of the Tugu Pahlawan Field was started, which was equipped with a museum building, entrances, statues, and reliefs of struggle. Since that time, the southern side field of the monument has also been used as a place for ceremonies and organizing state activities. Tugu Pahlawan, which is 41.15 meters high, is located in 2.9 hectares area, consists of 11 parts or levels, which are entirely made of reinforced concrete. The tapered top of the monument is equipped with red lights and lightning rods. There is a golden-yellow decoration on the top and bottom. The lower part of the monument is 3.1 meters in diameter, while the top part is 1.3 meters in diameter. The monument has a 10-sided plan and the surface forms curved vertical paths. Numbers 10 and 11 represent the historical event that occurred on November 10, 1945. At a depth of 7 meters below the ground of the Tugu Pahlawan, there is a museum to commemorate the services of the heroes who fought in Surabaya. In this museum, there are also documentation photos during the construction of the Tugu Pahlawan. The museum was inaugurated on February 19, 2000 by President Abdurrahman Wahid. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Fenomena, langit pun cerah, hilang gelisah bila engkau ada. Dan ku ingin tahu, mungkinkah ada yang istimewa bila ku menyapa. Karena bayangmu selalu hantuiku. Katakan yang kau rasa.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Mengisi Kartu Rencana Studi. Mengisi Kartu Rencana Studi, which in English means completing or filling the study plan card. Next, I will present a sample conversation on mengisi kartu rencana studi, or completing or filling the study plan. In Kevin's room, Kevin asked Rama how to fill out the study plan card.
Rama, bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana sih cara mengisi kartu rencana studi atau KRS secara daring?
Caranya, buka situs KRS, kemudian masukkan nama pengguna dan kata sandi. Pilih isi KRS mahasiswa, lalu pilih mata kuliah yang sesuai. Selanjutnya, klik simpan jika sudah selesai.
Oh begitu, bagaimana aku bisa lihat tampilan mata kuliah yang sudah dipilih?
Kamu bisa klik saja tampilkan KRS di menu utama bagian mahasiswa.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, mengisi kartu rencana studi. Mengisi kartu rencana studi, which means completing or filling the study plan. I will say the word twice and you can repeat after me. Kartu rencana studi. Kartu rencana studi, which means study plan card. Situs. Situs, which means site. Nama pengguna. Nama pengguna, which means username. Kata sandi. Kata sandi, which means password. Mahasiswa. Mahasiswa, which means students. Mata kuliah. Mata kuliah, which means courses. Sesuai. Sesuai, which means appropriate. Selanjutnya. Selanjutnya, which means next. Klik simpan. Klik simpan, which means click save. Selesai. Selesai, which means done. Jelaskan. Jelaskan, which means describe. As with the previous meetings, you can use the questions word bagaimana, bagaimana, which means how, to ask questions or process. If you want to emphasize a question and ask for more detailed information, you can add a sentence. Bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana cara? Bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana cara? Which means, can you explain how to? To respond to the interrogative sentence, bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana cara? Bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana cara? Which means, can you explain how to? You must explain the process sequently and in more detail, such as in the following. For example, bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana cara mengisi KRS secara daring? Bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana cara mengisi KRS secara daring? Which means, can you explain how to fill KRS online? You can answer this by, caranya buka situs KRS, caranya
buka situs KRS, which means it's like this, open the KRS website. Kemudian masukkan nama pengguna dan kata sandi. Kemudian masukkan nama pengguna dan kata sandi, which means dan enter username and password. Pilih isi KRS mahasiswa. Pilih isi KRS mahasiswa, which means select filling student's KRS. Lalu pilih mata kuliah yang sesuai. Lalu pilih mata kuliah yang sesuai, which means then select the appropriate course. Selanjutnya, klik simpan jika sudah selesai. Selanjutnya, klik simpan jika sudah selesai, which means next click save when finished. Before we end Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation one more time.
Rama, bisa kamu jelaskan bagaimana sih cara mengisi kartu rencana studi atau KRS secara daring?
Caranya, buka situs KRS, kemudian masukkan nama pengguna dan kata sandi. Pilih isi KRS mahasiswa, lalu pilih mata kuliah yang sesuai. Selanjutnya, klik simpan jika sudah selesai.
Oh begitu. Bagaimana aku bisa lihat tampilan mata kuliah yang sudah dipilih?
Kamu bisa klik saja tampilkan KRS di menu utama bagian mahasiswa.
Well, listen, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. I'm Dika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Jalan mana ku lalui, acap kali ku mencari, entah di sana atau di sini, aku gelap semua itu. Dunia di mana but
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Every 10th of November, Indonesia commemorates National Heroes Day. Therefore, our segment of Music Corner for today presents a medley song themed heroism entitled Pahlawan Lingga, sung by Atika Ramadhani. The song, which was composed by Henny Kusmana, dedicated to remember the service of Lingga's hero, namely Sultan Mahmud Riayat Shah III. Sultan Mahmud Riayat Shah III was born in Great Sultanate of Lingga, Riau, in 1716, and he held sovereignty of the Lingga, Riau, Johor, Pahang Kingdom. Sultan Mahmud Riayat Shah was awarded that title as a national hero on November 9, 2017. Lyrics of the song use Riau Melo language, and the song has slow tempo music. Let's listen to the song Pahlawan Lingga, sung by Atika Ramadhani. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.